Welcome, I'm Rose Aguilar, and this is Your Call. Earlier this year, the Alameda County Board of Supervisors voted to renew a contract with the company Paramedics Plus to provide the county's ambulance services for 3 more years. A recent piece in the East Bay Express by one of today's guests, Brian Kranz, highlights many of the problems with this for-profit ambulance company, which is based in Tyler, Texas. The piece cites low wages for EMS workers, few work breaks, high wait times for 911 calls, financial problems, and lawsuits. Several cities and counties across the country are turning to private-based for-profit ambulance services. So what happens when public services, in this case, life and death services, are handed over to for-profit companies? Joining us to talk about these issues are three guests. Brian Kranz is an award-winning investigative reporter and the Student Merit Fellow at the Investigative Reporting Program at the UC Berkeley Graduate School of Journalism. His recent piece in the East Bay Express looks at for-profit ambulances in Alameda County, and you can find that piece at yourcallradio.org. And Brian joins us in studio. Hi, Brian. Thank you for coming in.
Good morning.
Good morning. We're also joined by Michael Blair, political director for the Alameda County Firefighters Association, Local 55. Michael is also captain of the Alameda County Fire Department in Emeryville, which means he responds to medical emergencies and interfaces with the ambulance paramedics on a regular basis, and he's also a certified paramedic. Hi, Michael. Thank you for coming in.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
And Ziva Brandstetter is senior editor for Reveal from the Center for Investigative Reporting. Ziva came to Reveal from Tulsa World, where she wrote about the ambulance service EMSA, which contracted with the for-profit company Paramedics Plus. Hi, Ziva. Thank you for coming in.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Good morning. We reached out to Paramedics Plus and the California Ambulance Association. They both got back to us, but they said that they could not have anyone join us today. Well, let's start off and talk a little bit about the history of cities contracting with these for-profit ambulance services and how pervasive this is. Ziva, you wrote about this for Tulsa World. Give us a little bit of the history, because this is nothing new. This has been happening for a while.
Yeah, so Paramedics Plus contracted with a government agency that provided ambulance service in Tulsa and Oklahoma City for 14 years. And then I did my investigation, which resulted in an audit, showed a lot of misspending money that was going back to the ambulance, to the government agency, but not really resulting in better service. And so our investigation looked at spending on things like fancy parties and spa gift certificates and car washes and things for the CEO, travel, a lot of waste of government money that was sort of passing through this for-profit company. Typically, ambulance services in the past have been provided by fire departments, mm-hmm. you know, hands-on first responders, and there's now in some places a layer has been placed between the government and the people who need ambulance service, and that takes money off the table.
According to many reports, this happened because cities have been so strapped for cash, and government officials have said that they have no choice but to turn to these services. What happened in the case of Oklahoma?
There was a meeting in 1997 between a government official named Steve Williamson and a East Texas hospital executive who sort of cooked up this idea to start an ambulance service that would function out of the East Texas Medical Center, and they called it Paramedics Plus. And according to government documents that that I have reviewed, they essentially decided to devise a kickback scheme, according to the federal government, that some of the money that Paramedics Plus made from this very lucrative contract, which it was a $100 million contract at that time, would be returned to EMSA in the form of essentially a kickback. And then there was they had to spend that money, right? Once you have it as a government agency, you've got to spend it and use it or lose it. So that's how Paramedics Plus was born. Very, very small company. It never provided ambulance service to outside entities before. Mm-hmm. And then from then on, it went into Alameda, went to Indiana, 4 or 5 different states.
Are these services operating across the country?
Yes, they are operating across the country. AMR is one of the largest, if not the largest, providers. Paramedics Plus, at the time it started, had no contracts. They just sort of came out of nowhere, and this kickback arrangement enabled them to convince some cities to go with them. But yes, these for-profit ambulance services are operating across the country. They've got varying issues, some of which I'm sure we'll discuss today.
Yes, we'll definitely discuss those. But before we do that, Brian, what else can you tell us about just the history of these companies and why local governments just have decided to use them?
Well, EMS, it was mostly handled once all these calls started increasing.
Sorry, we're having some mic issues. Go ahead.
In the 1970s, that's when counties and local governments started getting into using their, there's so many calls going out that they needed people to handle it. And now more, they started handling more private companies as people started realizing that the healthcare industry was a great place to make profit, at least in America. Mm-hmm. So at least like in Alameda County, AMR, American Medical Response, they had the contract for about 2 decades. And then in 2011, Paramedics Plus came in during the open bidding process. They won the contract significantly less. And AMR actually sued Paramedics Plus and said, hey, we think they drastically underbid it. These guys are a relatively new service. They don't have many contracts around the county. And it went to jury, and the jury initially, they said, nope, sorry, Paramedics Plus gets the contract. And AMR, in the long run, was right. It ended up being a very costly contract for the county.
What typically happens behind the scenes? Does the public have a voice when it comes to city officials making these decisions?
Well, in Alameda County, yeah, they do have a way to get involved, but it's not necessarily the easiest one. Even the last case when they were about to approve a 3-year extension contract, because Alameda County was looking at being without an ambulance service as of November 1st. That's a very bad situation to be in. So they're looking to extend the contract, but they didn't post the document online, for like 12 hours before they made the vote. They had a piece of paper, but they didn't have the actual contract for anyone to view. So yes, they can get involved. They can look and see how their specific supervisor votes on these types of contracts.
And one thing that I would add to the talking points is anytime you're having an RFP for $600 million, which is what this RFP was about.
Request for proposal.
The request for proposal for ambulance services was $600 million. And the county decided to create the RFP in a vacuum without any of the stakeholders or the public commenting on it. And for us, for the firefighters and for the public, that's really alarming because ultimately we're the ones providing the service and the public is the one receiving the service. So one of our biggest issues was let's open this up. Let's have dialogue about how we can be innovative and come up with a system that's going to serve the public the best. That was lacking, and it was done in an office with people who it's been a while since they've been in the field.
Hmm. Michael, as a firefighter and a paramedic, what has it been like for you to watch city governments across the country and here in Northern California work with these for-profit ambulance services?
Well, I think that there's a place for-profit ambulance services, and I think that the fire department works on a geographic basis. So we respond everywhere within 5 to 7 minutes. And the EMS, the for-profit EMS ambulance companies, or even the not-for-profit ambulance companies, respond in a dynamic situation where they're flexing around the county to provide the most efficient level of service. What my experience has been is that as the LEMSA, the local EMS authority, has started to change the rules on how responses happen, there's been a decrease in the level of service given to the public. So personally, I think – or not – speaking for the local and the fire department, I feel that the LEMSA has really – had a huge impact on this as much as the for-profit ambulance service has.
A lot of people don't know what happens when they call 911. So why don't you go through that with us?
So they call a dispatcher that is sitting in an office in Livermore, and they explain their situation. And so it put the way what we have now is MPDS, which is a system that triages, the dispatcher is able to triage. So the dispatcher, the person calls in and says, I'm having abdominal pain. And so the dispatcher says, okay, that we're going to categorize that as an alpha level call, which is the lowest priority. Well, abdominal pain is one of the largest symptoms that you would have with a heart attack. But the person doesn't know that because they're not medically trained. So the fire department gets there and does a proper triage and realizes the person's having a heart attack. Then we upgrade the ambulance to echo level, which would be the highest level, get them there as quickly as possible. So there's some inherent issues with MPDS in the way that it's dispatching, but the ambulance gets there and then they're transported to the emergency department for treatment. That's basically how the system works.
Brian, what did you learn when you looked at how these companies determine whether or not abdominal pain is important and what level that should be? There's keywords for it that people use, right? Brian, you just said it's
MPDS?
If someone has abdominal pain,
that's an indicator of
alpha level call?
Alpha level call, right.
Alpha level call.
And so how is that determined with some of these companies?
Well, it's actually Dr. Carl Spohr, the head of the Alameda County, or the medical director of Alameda County. He was actually at an industry conference this year talking about the MPDS, which is the medical priority dispatch system. And he was talking about how that's actually can increase profits. So you're not sending, you know, you're not sending out the whole cavalry just to go, just to respond to somebody who stubbed their toe. But a big problem is, you know, how people, like, you know, not medically trained. You're panicking. Your loved one's hurt or something. But then they're also trying to deal with it. The people that just call the ambulance for no reason. Mm. You know, like, I need a ride to the hospital. Or, you know, if people that don't have insurance, that too often that 911 becomes their doctor. Their emergency room becomes their service provider. And so these for-profit ambulance companies, and of course, you know, municipalities and everybody, we can't just be sending resources to everything. But you know, it's balancing that between not responding fast enough, not responding with enough resources. So, you know, from my research and everything, the people I've talked to, it's really a balancing act. And it's difficult for some people to process when profit is considered the greatest determination of whether or not something's working.
Ziva, what would you add?
One of the things we found in Tulsa is that these ambulance companies should be measured on the response time. And that's sort of a good measuring stick that cities can use. And it was like in our ordinance how quickly they had to respond. But there were all these exceptions that Paramedics Plus sort of won in their new contract saying if it's raining, which they defined as just like any amount, trace amount of rain, then we sort of turn off the clock. If it's really busy, like peak time, and there are a couple of accidents working, we turn off the clock. So in all the times when you'd want them to sort of be there because there were more accidents, they weren't judged on that. The city was not using its contract, enforcing its contract. And that was because behind the scenes, you talked about these closed meetings, these off sort of meetings that public officials have with Paramedics Plus to set up the contract. There were campaign contributions, favors done, travel paid for the executive of the government agency that runs our ambulance service. He had a doctor's note that he could only fly first class. So these things were all happening behind, and the kickback scheme that they devised was not in the contract, right? It looked like a normal contract. Mm-hmm. And they did look like they're always short of money and like they were trying really hard, working hard to, you know, just it's sort of an insidious process when you introduce the for-profit motive. Most of these companies are good companies. It just takes strong public oversight from journalists, from first responders, from public officials to make
sure
that
the LEMSA.
Absolutely.
What's the LEMSA?
The local EMS authority. So you need to have a nice separation between the ambulance company, the fire department, and the regulatory agency who's overseeing basically what's in the best interest of the public medically and operationally.
And in Tulsa, they were essentially corrupt in that process. The board didn't have an attorney. They canceled half their meetings. They didn't know what was going on. They didn't ask questions. And when these issues were raised in our investigation, they were just sort of like, meh, you know. It took a long time. Now we're to the point of a possible criminal investigation.
Wow. Brian.
And that's one thing I found in a lot of Alameda County and all over California is a lot of the times these people just go hand in hand. Some people I met at the industry conference were like, yeah, it's a little awkward right now because I used to work for this company and now I regulate them. But they're all still at the same conference. You know, they're just possibly changing name badges. And we had that case in Alameda County where the director immediately worked for Paramedics Plus but couldn't explain to me why he would omit it from his LinkedIn profile. It's almost like his public resume, either for one reason or not. And it just doesn't want that out there. And that, for me, is concerning because he's responsible now for this contract.
Right.
And they just got a really nice extension. So.
So if there's not strong public oversight, you have to ask why.
Well, we did reach out to Paramedics Plus. They returned our emails but said they could not have anyone join us today. We also reached out to the California Ambulance Association. They also returned our emails but said a representative would not be available on today's show. Today we are talking about what happens when you call 911, and according to a number of investigations, it depends on where you live. Different organizations will show up at different times. A lot of investigations have shown that with for-profit ambulance services, there are high wait times for 911 calls. EMS workers are complaining about low wages. They're getting few breaks on the job. If you'd like to weigh in on this issue, we'd love to hear from you. If you work for one of these companies or if you've been involved with any of them, the toll-free number is 866-798-8255. And then also, I'm sure a lot of people are wondering, has this happened in my area? What do you want to know about how 911 works in your area and what's going on behind the scenes with your local ambulance service? And what do you think about your government contracting with a for-profit emergency service like ambulances, for example? You can also email feedback@yourcallradio.org or tweet us at yourcallradio. Today we're joined by Brian Kranz, an award-winning investigative reporter. His recent piece in the East Bay Express looks at for-profit ambulances in Alameda County. Michael Blair is political director for the Alameda County Firefighters Association Local 55. He's captain of the Alameda County Fire Department in Emeryville and a certified paramedic. And Ziva Brandstetter is senior editor for Reveal from the Center for Investigative Reporting. She came to Reveal from Tulsa World, where she wrote about the ambulance service EMSA, which contracted with the for-profit company Paramedics Plus. Michael, as a firefighter and a paramedic, do you feel like your voice and the voices of your colleagues are being heard in this debate? Do city officials ask you, for example, for your opinion about these contracts?
Well, historically, the fire department has always had a say in how the RFP was implemented and the components of it. And in the last RFP that was released and in the upcoming RFP that's allegedly being released, we haven't been involved. We've had no comment, or we haven't been able to comment on the RFP. We haven't been able to look at it. It's kind of pushed us out of the process, which is really concerning because we're the ones that are providing the service. We basically provide from A to M, and then the ambulance provides from N to Z. So why would you not have everybody communicating to make the RFP the best for the county and best for the citizens?
Brian, were you able to ask government officials about this?
I tried, actually. The fire department was specifically blocked from the last RFP process. There was a provision, and I couldn't get an answer as to who put it in there, but it specifically said an alliance model where the fire department contracts with a private company and they work that way. That's being used in Contra Costa County. But the document specifically blocked it. And they included two RFPs, which is kind of weird. There's normally just one. And the Alliance Model 1 was completely blocked, and the fire department was shut out.
That's the same process that happened in Tulsa.
And what did government officials tell you?
We're just going this direction. We're going to run it like a business. And it turned out that the person who said that had received campaign contributions from Paramedics Plus and EMSA, Paramedics Plus, sort of passed the money through. And so the fire department, there was even a municipal ordinance passed that they couldn't involve themselves in campaigns on their own private time. And there was some, debate about that. And so there was an absolute across-the-board effort to shut down the fire department by the city around the time that Paramedics Plus won the contract and won renewals.
Michael, what are the differences between the way that the workers are treated and paid?
Between the fire department and the ambulance? I was explaining this earlier. The ambulance tends to be like the farm team. So you have people come in that are low paid, and some people come in and stay on the ambulance forever and make minimum wage and do it for the passion. And then other people look at it as an opportunity to move on to the fire department where working conditions, wages, benefits, everything is better.
Minimum wage For the ambulance?
I want to say it's about $16 an hour that they're making. Brian, you may be able to answer that better than I can.
Yeah, it was a UC Berkeley and UCLA study. Ken Jacobs over at UC Berkeley told me the state average they found out for a private ambulance company, which 80% of paramedics and EMTs in California are private, they make $16.59 an hour on average.
So EMTs are making $16.50 an hour.
Mm-hmm.
And,
yeah.
And what do they do exactly?
They sit in an ambulance and drive around from one location to the next, you know, depending on where the resources are needed. They sit in the ambulance and wait for a call. And then when a call comes in, they respond to the call code 3, pick up the patient, deliver them to the hospital. You know, then once the hospital takes care of the patient, they get back in the ambulance and they drive around to the next posting location. It's a, you know, you're talking sometimes it's 24-hour shifts, sometimes it's 12-hour shifts, but it's long days in a vehicle without breaks. It's rough living.
One of the things we found in Tulsa is that when Paramedics Plus renewed its contract, they stretched the work week for these workers from 40 hours to like 48 hours was the new work week. And so it added up to like 26 unpaid days of work per year. My heart really went out to these folks that were providing this service. And, you know, the waste and the overspending was happening at the top, very top levels. And that was absolutely not filtering down in terms of pay for the people who were doing the work.
What do you hear from EMT workers about these relationships, Brian?
It's hard because, you know, as we're talking about it, you know, these private ambulance companies. But the people working in these companies, they're people that live in Alameda County, mm-hmm. you know, no matter who their contractors. So the county actually did a survey in 2012. Paramedics Plus took over in 2011. They did a survey in 2012. And we're going to ask people in the hospitals and on the fire engines and, you know, and Paramedics Plus and talking about how do you feel about your new employer and how do you feel about your work? And overwhelmingly, it was the response, I love what I do, but I don't like who I do it for. They had there was a lot of problem with management and stuff like that. They said that the company caused like significant stress in their lives. And even now, statewide, they're just trying to get a basic EMS workers' bill of rights passed. The idea of give us a 10-minute break. And if you don't give us a 10-minute break, at least pay us for it. You know, pay us that extra money for essentially breaking the law. They want the ability to track violent acts against paramedics mm-hmm. and EMTs, which is they're just as at risk as a firefighter or a police officer. Mm-hmm. And they also want some kind of, you know, better access to mental health care, considering all the trauma and stress that they endure on a seemingly regular basis.
You report that California Assemblyman Freddie Rodriguez introduced a bill called the EMS Workers Bill of Rights. Does this have much support in Sacramento?
We're going to find out. You know, he's a EMT himself. He'll pick up a shift here and there. But
so he's speaking from experience, working from experience.
Yeah, and the ambulance lobby is really, they're coming out. The California Ambulance Association called it in their publication, Siren. You know, they basically said that, hey, the UC Berkeley and UCLA studies fake news, and we shouldn't base statewide legislation on this. It's very colorful. But even in that same publication, the California Ambulance Association said, We're no longer just going to sit there and help people with bills. We're going to write them specifically ourselves. And one of the bills that they wrote that's kind of been abandoned is to exempt the EMS service from the mandatory minimum break periods and stuff like that.
Well, we did reach out to the California Ambulance Association, and we just got a statement from them, and so I'll read that after the break. We're back and forth with them over email, but they declined to make anyone available to join the show today. We also reached out to Paramedics Plus. They also emailed us back, but said that no one was available to join us. We are joined by Brian Kranz. His recent piece in the East Bay Express looks at for-profit ambulances in Alameda County. Ziva Brandstetter is a senior editor for Reveal. She came to Reveal from Tulsa World, where she wrote about ambulance services, specifically EMSA, which contracted with the for-profit company Paramedics Plus. And Michael Blair is political director for the Alameda County Firefighters Association, Local 55. He's captain of the Alameda County Fire Department in Emeryville and a certified paramedic. And today we are talking about what happens when emergency services are privatized, and most important, what happens when you call 911. This is Your Call. We'll be back after this.
This is Your Call on KALW Local Public Radio. If you have a perspective you haven't heard in today's discussion or a question that you feel needs to be answered, please join the conversation by calling 866-798-8255. That's 866-798-8255, toll free. You can also send an email to feedback@yourcallradio.org or post a comment or question at the show's website, yourcallradio.org, or you can tweet us at yourcallradio.
This is Your Call. I'm Rose Aguilar. Coming up tomorrow, we'll speak with Free From Harm director Robert Grillo about his new book, Farm to Fable, The Fictions of Our Animal-Consuming Culture. Why do the vast majority of people continue to consume animals when we now have so many alternatives? That's tomorrow. And then Friday, it's our media roundtable. Today, we are talking about what happens when you call 911. Depending on where you live, different agencies could show up at different times. Since the 2008 financial crisis, private equity firms have taken over a lot of public services like ambulances and emergency health care. And cities say that they're strapped for cash and they have no choice but to turn to for-profit corporations. If you have any questions or comments about this, if you'd like to add something to the conversation, we'd love to hear from you. Do you know how your 911 service and ambulance services work in your area? The toll-free number is 866-798-8255. You can also email feedback@yourcallradio.org or tweet at yourcallradio. We're joined today by Brian Kranz, investigative reporter. His recent piece in the East Bay Express looks at for-profit ambulances in Alameda County. Ziva Brandstetter is a senior editor for Reveal. Before working with Reveal, she worked at the Tulsa World, where she wrote about the ambulance service EMSA, which contracted with the for-profit company Paramedics Plus. And Alameda County just voted to renew a contract with Paramedics Plus to provide the county's ambulance services for 3 more years. We did reach out to them, but they could not make anyone available. Michael Blair is political director for the Alameda County Firefighters Association, Local 55. He's a certified paramedic and captain of the Alameda County Fire Department in Emeryville. We did also reach out to the California Ambulance Association, and they just sent us a statement from Ross Elliott, ED of the California Ambulance Association. And it says, the real weakness in the fire alliance model used in Contra Costa County and the one proposed in Alameda County is that it destroys the ability for ambulance companies to compete openly and fairly for the lucrative exclusive contract. The bid rigging that occurs with the fire alliance model obliterates fairness. Consequently, the public loses. Rigged bids result in less or no competition, which in turn results in higher ambulance service prices and lower quality of service. Patients end up paying more for less. Fair, open competition is the only way to ensure that the public is getting the best deal. This is from Ross Elliott, ED of the California Ambulance Association. Michael Blair, you are director of the Alameda County Firefighters Association. What do you think of that statement?
Well, first of all, we have a completely open bidding process. So for them to say that is it's ludicrous. We have a situation where anybody can bid on it. The alliance model being – what we're looking for is the alliance model to be one aspect of that. And additional private ambulance companies could bid as well. We happen to feel that our alliance model is really competitive and would be hard for the ambulance providers to bid against because it allows us to capture additional revenues that private companies are unable to capture.
In the statement, they also talk about the average cost of a fire department who provides ambulance services. It says that's about $2,400 per transport, whereas private industry provides the service for $600 per transport.
That's their number. Yeah, it's not exactly a neutral.
No, and besides, the current cost in Alameda County, thanks to the most recent extension for Paramedics Plus, is about $2,100. That's how much their private rides are costing. And that's set, so basically in the 4 other cities, Berkeley, Alameda, Albany, and Piedmont, that handle their own services, they charge the exact same amount because that's what the county board says. So there's not a $600 ride. It's a $2,100 ride in Alameda County right now.
If you just use the logic, I mean, if there's a for-profit company added into the mix, they've got it. They have to make some money, right? They're in business. And so you have the cost of the service, then you add on the profit. It's not to say that you should never have a for-profit company, but they're going to take a cut.
Well, we have a caller on the cost. She's got personal experience with this. So let's go to Sandy in Oakland. Hi, Sandy. Welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you. My spouse was in the hospital at Summit for off and on for 5 months with a congenital lung disease. So we had to call 911 quite often. And that the response from the fire department was great. The only thing is that too many people came in and crowded into the house. And then when the paramedics plus came, I found them not trained, not responsive, really ignoring our needs. And then when my spouse was in hospital, Summit had she had to have an MRI across the street, and so the hospital called paramedics plus to transport her. They put her in the ambulance in the bay and drove across the street into a driveway, unloaded her. The bill I got for that was $1,700 plus $100 mileage.
Wow.
And when I called to complain about it, they said the prices are approved by government. And other than that, transporting from our home, which is close to Summit, it was always $2,400 because $2,100 was the standard, but then they tack on mileage.
Hmm.
So that's what I'd want to give.
Sandy, before you had to call 911, had you heard of Paramedics Plus?
I see them around all the time.
Oh, you see them. What do you think about the Alameda County doing business with this company?
I don't like it, you know, because they're not accountable. If there's a number for us to call, well, then it's in Texas, and there's nobody to appeal. Or I also had concerns about the training and about the unprofessionalism of some of the EMTs, just transporters, and talked to some of them, and I found very few of them trained, but there was nobody to go to. And so, no, I don't. It's like a monopoly. We have to deal with a monopoly.
Well, thank you for calling, Sandy. Thank you for sharing your story. We did reach out to Paramedics Plus, and they declined to have someone join us today. And I'm not sure if you heard this, Sandy, but UC Berkeley has done a study and found that EMT workers are making about $16.50 an hour, often overworked and extremely tired on the job with very few breaks. Brian, you heard from Sandy. How common is this? A lot of people. Sandy said if she wanted to call someone, she'd have to call Texas.
I mean, and that's a big problem that people had with them coming in. Even people that were working for AMR were like, look, you're going to bring this in, and all we're going to do is help fund a company in Texas. You know, unless there's some, you know, pop-up ambulance company that's starting in Oakland, that's kind of, we have to deal with these big companies. But one thing that's worth pointing out, especially to Sandy, who's worried about finding them less trained, that was actually a major complaint of the Paramedics Plus employees I talked to, is that they're not getting the proper training. You know, in the survey, that was a major complaint comparatively to, say, like the fire department, where they're just, you know, their answers were much better as far as, are you getting the training you need to effectively do your job?
In Tulsa, we found that money that should have been – that was being requested for training for EMTs was instead going toward this revenue-sharing profit cap arrangement where the top administrators at IMSA got basically a big cash kickback to spend on travel and meals and things like that. So they didn't spend the money on travel. They spent it on administration.
Brian, in your piece, you report that Paramedics Plus has been hemorrhaging money while doing business in Alameda County, more than $48 million in the past 6 years.
Yeah, it's kind of unlike other contracts they've had. Like, it's really hard to turn a buck in Alameda County. I mean, reimbursement rates, you can charge someone $2,100, and that's the base rate. Every mile, even you turn the oxygen tank on, that's, you know, the meter's running. But you can send someone a bill, and it doesn't – if they can't pay it, you're not going to get that money. And two-thirds of Alameda County are on public government assistance. Mm. And Medi-Cal, when it comes to reimbursement, They're like, here's $117. They will give someone $117. I mean, even the city of Berkeley, they had to write off like $18.5 million. This is over 17 years, but $18.5 million in money they just were never going to see.
So why would they want the contract?
Oh, why would Berkeley want to handle their
no,
own?
No, I mean, why would Paramedics Plus want the contract if they're not, if their bills aren't being paid?
That's a very good question. There is
the
opportunity.
Why would they extend the contract?
It sounds to me like there's a lot more here to look at, you know, really, honestly.
I have public records requests out. Hopefully I can get that answer.
But that doesn't make sense. I mean, if you're saying that people are not paying their bills and Paramedics Plus is hemorrhaging money.
They do turn to third-party payers. If you're in a car accident, they in Tulsa at least, they would go after every single source of revenue they could get, even state funds to assist crime victims. If someone was a victim of a crime, the IMSA would go and tap that money. They would bill people's insurance even when they didn't owe bills. They would sue people. There was a lot of collection going on. They had a big collection arm. And so I think it's difficult. Medicaid and Medicare pays a lot of money, by the way, so there may be more money there. They make it up somewhere else.
Well, thank you for calling in and sharing your story, Sandy. Let's hear next from Cynthia in San Francisco. Hi, Cynthia. Welcome to the show.
Yes, hi. Thank you, Rose, for taking my call. I've become something of a regular caller to your show. And
glad to hear it.
I would like to share today an experience I've had with my experiences that I've had with calling 911 in San Francisco. For 7 years, I took care of a sister with Alzheimer's disease who had multiple medical conditions that required emergency care. And I never called unless I checked with a doctor or a nurse first to bring her to the hospital. I lived two blocks from St. Luke's, and one company charged me $3,000 8 years ago to go two blocks. And they took the longest possible route they could take to get there. And I said, you're going the wrong way. And they didn't listen to me. They are still trying to collect for me. I am battling their legal department. And I would like to say I dealt with the fire department as well. I agree. Their training was so excellent, and they were so good. However, I don't know if I can do this, Rose. You tell me. There was one company that transported my sister from San Francisco General to St. Luke's, and when I was in San Francisco General with her, I talked to a social worker, and I said, you know, I can't pay, like, you know, if it cost me $3,000 to go two blocks, I can't pay what it's going to cost me to go from General to St. Luke's. Mm-hmm. So they called a company for me, put me in touch with this company, and I don't know if I can do a shout-out to this company, because they probably don't do it anymore. But if I can give a shout-out to a particular company, my sister's now in Laguna Honda. I still see this company, and they are excellent. Can I give a shout-out to a private ambulance?
That's fine.
Pro Transport. They totally wrote off my bill when they found out my circumstances and my finances.
Well, thank you for calling in, Cynthia. I have not heard of Pro Transport. Have you?
No.
Brian?
So,
Michael.
Yeah, Pro Transport is just a EMT locally based company that is not in the 911 system.
Okay.
So you would call Pro Transport and say, I need a ride from point A to point B. And they would say, okay, it's going to cost you $350 or whatever the cost is. I don't know how they charge. And then you would get a transport there. So Pro Transport never gets pulled into the 911 system, and this specifically is really a conversation about the 911 system versus transport.
Non-emergency medical transport.
Yeah, non-emergency medical transport.
Well, thank you for the call, and I'm glad you had a good experience. Thank you for that. We have an email from a listener who says, if the fire department handles emergency calls within the local municipalities within 5 to 7 minutes, and the private companies handle everything else, does the funding come only from the county budgets, or do the cities contribute any revenue? If the funding for the private companies comes from the county only, then why aren't the Board of Supervisors held to account on this? And maybe you should have them on the program. Brian?
Well, one thing that one funding mechanism that was happening was the first responders fees. So Paramedics Plus, and you know, they signed a contract, like, we're going to have to kick in so much money to pay for the fire department to be those first responders. So, you know, contractually, if you have, like, oh, you have to have two paramedics on this call on this level, well, one of the paramedics is going to be from the fire department and one is going to be from Paramedics Plus. Those are generally more expensive. But in the latest round of their contract, Paramedics Plus doesn't have to pay for that extra money to go to the firefighters. So that's actually more money that the fire department has to come up with. I think the numbers that were like $5.5 million that they won't have to pay in the next 3 years to support the fire department and the first responders fees.
So to take a step back, Michael, yeah, in 2011, the LEMSA, the local EMS authority of Alameda County, transferred the FRALS money, which is first responder ALS money. That's the $5.5 million. They transferred it from their responsibility to Paramedics Plus's responsibility. So in 1996, Measure C passed, which is a special paramedic assessment tax to fund Alameda County's paramedic services, which is fire department and ambulance. So until 2011, the LEMSA was the one that was paying for that. In 2011, the LEMSA put that burden upon the ambulance provider. And so now that you've had it step a couple of different ways, now they're taking their hands and saying, hey, we don't want to pay that anymore, even though it was something that was passed by the voters in 96.
Yeah, you saw the same things happening in Tulsa with that first responder fee being sort of a contract negotiation issue. And, you know, those firefighters still have to keep paying the fire department still has to keep paying those costs. So they show up, they use materials, they're doing a lot of first aid before the ambulance crew gets there, at least in Tulsa. And in Tulsa, people wanted the fire department to be able to bid. Just like a company, you know, why not have head-to-head, you know, and the fire department wanted to bid and they were essentially shut out of that process. So I don't think it's an either-or deal where, you know, either the fire department or private companies, there's the possibility where fire departments can bid just like a private company.
I would like to also add, I believe it's about $46,000 per apparatus for the first responder ALS fee, and that's the amount of money that was coming to the fire departments to provide this service, probably the best money the public could have ever spent, because you have the fire department going and stabilizing these patients at no cost to the community. So we get there, we stabilize the patient, we wait until the ambulance gets there, and then once the ambulance arrives, we pass the patient off. So it's an absolutely critical component of the EMS system to have the fire department responding there. And even when you look at this last RFP, they wanted to eliminate 25% of our calls. The LEMSA, the local EMS authority, said, we're just going to say 25% of your calls, we're not going to have you even respond to.
Well, so this raises another question, because if the majority of people in Alameda County are not paying their bills and they're on Medi-Cal, let's say, for example, you're getting calls from a wealthy neighborhood and a poor neighborhood. Have you found any in your reporting, have there been differences in time responses?
You know, even parts of like it's historically been done. Allie's piece that she did years ago looking at it. Yeah, there are parts of East Oakland like that. The response time is going to be much worse, let alone, you know, if there's an act of violence and they're waiting for the police to clear it. There's all that.
Has anything changed with these for-profit ambulance services?
They've generally become worse over the years.
It depends on the oversight. In Tulsa, they did measure response times by district, and so they had poor districts, wealthy districts, and they would measure them and compare them and talk about the variance. But if there's not strong oversight on the part of that LEMSA board, the EMSA board in Tulsa, looking at those and saying, hey, why is this district higher? Why is this like – then they're just spitting out numbers that no one's looking at. There has to be oversight.
Michael, you're talking about what happens when someone calls 911 and the fire department shows up and then the ambulance shows up. What changes have you seen in that relationship, like sharing information, working together, as these services have become more privatized? I mean, because we're talking about someone's health, right?
So
these are life and death
I completely agree.
Situations.
And also, just to clarify, I came from the private. So I came from AMR as a paramedic in 2003. That's where I started my career. And so I had both perspectives of the situation. However, I've never worked in a situation like San Francisco where you have a public agency working with a public agency for, you know, A to Z EMS responses. But my experience has been since 2001, there's been a massive change in the level of service provided to the community. And I wouldn't put that all on the ambulance provider. I think that the local EMS authority has a huge responsibility in that. And I think that they've looked at the EMS authority has tried to make the system maybe more dynamic or better. And in that process, we've had some really significant growing pains, and we've had times where we have engines staying on scene for 90 minutes or 2 hours. And that's problematic because if a fire breaks out in that district, there's nobody there to respond. And, you know, you have to someone from an outlying district come in and respond to that fire. And, you know, really at the end of the day, for us, we're trying to get there in a really short period of time so we can make a difference.
Why did you decide to go from AMR to working with the Alameda County Firefighters Association, Alameda County Fire Department, where you're captain?
So I had always wanted to be in the fire service, and part of the process of getting training and moving, you know, through your career and establishing your resume is by working as a paramedic. And so I worked first in Fresno County and saw a perspective there. Then I came to Alameda County and saw a different perspective. And for the last 12, 13 years, I've been working for the fire service. And the fire service is just another level of, you know, commitment to the community and services provided that does not exist with the privates.
Did you see any benefits in the privates that you don't see with the fire department?
I think that the fire department provides the highest level of service there is, because we're not for profit. Any money that we make goes right back into providing a higher level of service. Anytime you're for profit, it's the profit comes first, and when you're dealing with somebody's health care, that can be problematic. Because you're taking statistics and saying, oh, it only happens 1% of the time, that we're not there quickly enough. However, if that's your wife or if that's your child, you find it really problematic. Yeah. And so when you're the person waiting for the ambulance when somebody's gone into cardiac arrest, you want somebody to be there instantly. And most of the time, that's the fire department.
Wendy writes in, I had a big problem with AMR about 2 years ago. I could not get this company to bill my insurance for services for a year after I was forced to use their services. She says, I wrote to the city department that governs the contract for AMR twice and left several messages and never got a response from the city. Useless bureaucracy. Brian, what happens when someone needs to use an emergency service and then bills it to insurance? I'm sure it depends on the insurance, right?
Well, and
but do they pay?
Well, it all depends.
Yeah.
It's the tough thing. You know, that $2,100 for a cost for the base price for an ambulance doesn't come out of thin air. So they balance it by like, well, here's what we're going to get for public reimbursement, and here's what we're going to get from insurance. And again, you're having a medical emergency. You may not be thinking right. Or if it's your child and you're like, oh, my gosh, I need somebody here now. But then if you bill the insurance company and they're like, that wasn't medically necessary. Again, these are people in offices making decisions that they're removed from the process. And they can just decide that wasn't medically necessary. You're on the fit for the whole bill. And then you get that, you know, $2,100 plus. And, you know, how many medical bankruptcy? And, you know, you're looking at something like that. I can't pay that bill. I couldn't pay that bill.
In Tulsa, one of the things we found was a deceptive billing practice. So people were paying a fee on their utility bills to have emergency ambulance service covered if they needed it. And you could opt into this fee and pay this fee. And almost everybody was just paying it. And so people were getting a bill that looked an awful lot like they owed the whole amount. And they would pay it. And then come to find out, oh, I was paying the fee. I wasn't supposed to pay the whole amount. And IMSA eventually, when we uncovered this, said, well, we don't know how many people did that.
Hmm.
So that was just one of many problems we found, was a very deceptive, a very aggressive collections agency going after people who didn't pay this whole retail price. There were a lot of issues that were very profit-driven. Like that.
Have you all compared, say, San Francisco, that's public across the board, mm-hmm. to a city that uses these private companies and the major differences?
It is kind of, it's a little bit more difficult because, you know, every area is going to have its own needs. Right. You know, even looking at, like, you know, would a certain model work in Alameda County if it's being used in Contra Costa County? Well, those are two different counties.
Right.
Those are two different needs. And it's also, you know, if you're going to look in at even just Oakland, you know, what are the needs of the people up in the hills versus in the flats?
I'd be interested in like a longitudinal study, though. I mean, just look at the health of people, the survival rate of cardiac arrest. You could take a couple indicators and look at it from the 70s when everybody was public to now when a lot of people aren't. I'd be very curious to see the results.
Ziva, that sounds like a great project for Reveal.
Yeah, right. I'll add that to my list.
So important. Michael, what are your thoughts on this? A lot of people don't know this is happening. Some people listening right now might be concerned what happens if they call 911. A lot of people are taking care of aging parents.
I think for the most part, the services you're going to get in Alameda County are great.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to get a fire department response very quickly that's going to be very well prepared to handle your situation. Do I think that we have a lot of improvement, room for improvement? Absolutely. You look at the Contra Costa model, which is an alliance model between the fire department and the private agency, where the fire department handles all the billing and oversight and management and still has top-to-bottom control over the employees. So as an example, I'm a captain. The paramedic shows up on scene in the private ambulance and says, hey, you know, I'm not going to do that. Well, as the captain, I'll have the ability to say, no, actually, you are going to do that because it's in the best interest of the patient. So I look at the private ambulance alliance model that we're looking at in Alameda County as a way to improve the services within our county. And one of the things that the CAA doesn't want to talk about is the public agency's ability to capture additional revenues through IGT and GEMT money. Basically what that means is there's ways for a public agency to capture Medicare and Medi-Cal reimbursements that aren't available to the public, which decreases the actual cost for us. So...
Hmm.
It would make it cheaper for us to provide services.
Michael Blair is political director for the Alameda County Firefighters Association Local 55. He's a certified paramedic and captain of the Alameda County Fire Department in Emeryville. Brian Kranz is an investigative reporter, and his recent piece in the East Bay Express looks at for-profit ambulances in Alameda County. Ziva Brandstetter is senior editor for Reveal. She previously worked with Tulsa World, where she wrote about the ambulance service EMSA, which contracted with the for-profit company Paramedics Plus. We did reach out to Paramedics Plus. They emailed us back, but said that no one could join us on today's show. We did get a statement from the California Ambulance Association. They say private ambulance companies in California work hard and provide competent, high-quality service every day. Michael, Ziva, and Brian, thank you all for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Coming up tomorrow, we will have a conversation with Free From Harm director Robert Grillo. He'll talk with us about his new book, Farm to Fable, The Fictions of Our Animal Consuming Culture. Why do so many of us continue to consume animals when we now have so many alternatives? He looks at how our culture influences what we eat and exposes the dark side of animal agriculture. That is tomorrow. Your Call is produced here at KALW in San Francisco. To listen to past shows or sign up for our podcast, visit yourcallradio.org. Thanks to Ellie Budner for producing today's show. I'm Rose Aguilar. It's Your Call.